Stand before you in fear this morning. A fear of what you may have expected for a Christmas morning message. But more than that, a fear to displease the Lord. I'd like to start with a verse. Remember the song that we've sung in the past at Christmas time? Jesus came, praise his name. I'm thankful for that. I'd like to read to you a verse of why he came. I'd like to start in Luke 4 and 18. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. This is Jesus talking. Because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted. Amen. This baby that was born in a manger, this was his mission. To preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised. It says he closed the book, he sat down, and then it said in the 21st verse, he began to say unto them, this day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears. He came, praised his name, and it was that we could all men would be able to make heaven their home. Not all have accepted, though. I'd like to look at another verse before we start. In Luke, the 19th chapter. I desire your prayers this morning. To the people that he loved. Says that when he has come near, he beheld the city, and he wept over it, saying, if thou hadst known, even thou, at least in this thy day, the things which belong to thy peace, but now they're hid from thine eyes. To the people that he loved, that he came, you remember he didn't go to the Gentiles. He said, I'm sent to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. That's my mission. That's who I want to be saved, want to see saved. He said he came to his own. His own received him not. What was his attitude when they didn't receive him? He wept. If you had only known the peace that I had for you, but you would not. I would like today to talk to you about a title, the title that some people carry. In my work, I have gone before to a seminar where the speaker, before he gets up, someone introduces him. And they will tell you his credentials. They will tell you he has graduated from this college. He is a president of this company. It's all intended to give you a merit to his speech that he has for you. For you to believe that he knows what he's talking about, the title that he has. Today I want to talk to you about a title. This title we can each one have in our lives. If we have it, we'll tell it to no one. If we're not careful, after a while, we'll not believe that we have it ourselves. I wish that I could tell you this morning that the only knowledge I have of this title was what I've read about. But I have to say that there's been an area in my past that this was my title. But what I want to say is, Jesus came to preach deliverance to the captive. Places that we allow ourselves to get bound, he came to preach deliverance. It's more than a baby in a manger. The title I want to talk to you about this morning is hypocrisy. It's something that lurks for every one of us. It awaits at the time when the Lord tries to deal with me about a change that I need to make in my life. and I make a decision of whether I will make that change in my life or whether I will continue on with a form. To the young people, be very careful. It begins there. When I was a young teenager, many times through my life, my parents would tell us as children, we want an unbroken circle in heaven. I want you all to be saved. I wish that had always been my desire, but it wasn't. There were times that I had no desire in my teenage years to live for the Lord, but I learned something. I learned that it was easiest around the house if I would go along with it, if I would pretend that I was saved. Yes. To the point of knowing Mom and Dad long so much for me to be saved. So when I go to meeting, I testify to salvation. When I'm around unsaved friends, I let it all go. When looking good to other people is my number one goal. What happens is I forget who God is. He's all knowing. He's all seeing. And what becomes important to me is that you feel like I'm doing fine. The definition for hypocrisy: a feigning to be what one is not, a concealment of one's real character or motives, the assuming of a false appearance of virtue or religion. Jesus came, says he left the splendor of heaven, knowing his destiny, knowing that he would be rejected. I've thought over the last few weeks of the prophecies that was given of what would happen to Jesus. You know what? He knew those prophecies before he ever came down here. He knew he would be rejected. He knew he would be despised. But I believe he knew also, I'm willing to do it for anyone that will accept it. A deceitful show of a good character. A hypocrite is one who has the form of godliness, but not the power to make a change in his life. There's an example in the Bible that I'd like for us to look at. In Acts, when Jesus went up and the angel told them, "Why you stand here gazing into the heavens, this same Jesus that you have seen go up, he's coming back." And those people, those Christians, took it serious. I believe he's coming back. In fact, I believe that we're not going to need these temporal things that we have here. Let's just go ahead and get rid of them and be ready when he does come back. We know today that they missed it. He hasn't come back yet. But they went out and they sold everything that they had. They put it in a common pot and lived from that, waiting for Jesus to come. We all know this story. It's chapter 5, verse 1. A certain man named Ananias with Sapphira, his wife, sold a possession. And they kept back a part of the price. Everyone else is selling what they have, and they're bringing it in. So he wants to do the same. There's only one thing there. It says he kept back part of the price, and there was really nothing wrong with that. It was the hypocrisy that went with it. His wife being privy to it, and they brought a certain part and they laid it at the apostles' feet. There was something that was said to them in the first, in the fourth verse, "While it remained, was it not thine own? After it was sold, was it not in thine own power? Why hast thou conceived this thing in thine heart? Thou hast not lied to men, but unto God. Now, was it true that they hadn't lied to men? They had lied to men. I believe what he was wanting to tell them is, it's nothing. What you have lied to men is nothing in comparison to standing up in the face of God and lying to him. Both of them lost their lives. It is possible for me to live a life of hypocrisy. I desire your prayers this morning. With the goal that I want you to feel like I'm doing fine. I could go my whole life. Ananias and Sapphira lost theirs for it. I could go my whole life and die and leave you with a good impression that I was living for the Lord all along. And it'd be hypocritical. You remember where it said, when the unclean spirit is gone out of a man, that spirit walks about in dry places, seeking rest and finding none. The devil cares not how he gets any of us. This is one of the ways that he'd love to get us. That I settle for something less than pleasing God. Not very often do I think about Ananias and Sapphira in this way. The rich man says in hell, he lifted up his eyes, being in torment. This morning, Ananias and Sapphira are with him for doing good for the wrong cause. There was nothing wrong with what they brought. It was the intention of the heart that they meant to deceive. I want to ask us this morning to, you know, the devil would love to get in right here to people that have a tender heart toward the Lord, want to do it right, and he accused of being a hypocrite. When Jesus came to Peter and he said, Peter, I prayed for you. You're fixing to fall. I prayed for you so that you'll be converted again afterward, that your faith fail not. And Peter said, though all men be offended, I won't be. Though I should die for you, I won't be. Was Peter a hypocrite? No. Peter felt sure he understood his heart. He did not say within his heart, I know that's what I'm going to do. I just want to fool you, Lord. He felt like that was really who he was. There will be times in our life when we may fail the Lord. Don't let the devil bring to you that you're a hypocrite. As long as you keep your heart honest before the Lord, when he shows you a change that needs to be made in your life, don't cover it. It says, he that covereth his sins shall not prosper, but he that confesseth and forsaketh, he'll have mercy. A deceitful show of a good character. I'd like to give you another example in Matthew 26. How could it be that one of his disciples would fall into this area? In Matthew 26 and 21, and as they did eat, he said, verily I say unto you, one of you shall betray me. And they were exceeding sorrowful, and began every one of them to say unto him, the same thing I would ask the Lord. Lord, you didn't say who it was. Is it possible that I could be the one? They were saying, Lord, is it I? The thing that should have been said. But there was one that also said it. It says in the 25th verse, then Judas, which betrayed him, answered and said, Master, is it I? Right along with all the rest of them when I'm soul searching. When others are soul searching during a message, could I, through hypocrisy, say right along with them, Lord, is it I? Yeah. Judas knew within his heart it was he. He had already covenanted for 30 pieces of silver. All he had left was finding the time to betray his Lord. On down in that chapter 26 and 47, it goes deeper. 48th verse says, "Now he that betrayed him gave him a sign, saying, Whomsoever I shall kiss, that same is he. Hold him fast. Forthwith he came to Jesus, and he said, Hail, Master. And he kissed him, knowing what his plans were for Jesus." Hypocrisy can come in when I fail to know who God is. How could he have forgotten the times when he walked with the Lord out there, and it said the Lord perceived the hearts of what someone was thinking, and he told it to them. And now Judas has come to the place where he's willing to say with the others, and I believe those others were terrified in their heart. Could it possibly be me? And Judas is willing in his heart to stand up with the rest of them and say, how about me? I'd like to look at another verse, 2 Timothy 3:1. "This know also, that in the last days perilous times will come." Fifth verse, "Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof." I believe this message is a warning for me. I believe it can be a warning for each one of us. I believe we're all headed for eternity. The devil is willing to take whatever route he can to trip us up. There are some that are going away saying, I don't want anything to do with religion. The devil knows what my frame of mind is. I'm not going anywhere. I'm staying. What trap can he lay for me? This one right here. "Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof." Willing to show an outward form of godliness while I refuse to allow God to make changes in my heart that he wants to make. Remember in Luke 12:1, he said, "I want you to beware of the leaven of the Pharisees," which is hypocrisy. That it was so rampant among that religious group that Jesus kind of grouped it all together. There's another place that talks about leaven. It says the kingdom of heaven is like leaven. That when you let it, it'll work all through your life. That when someone comes along and picks from it, there's fruit that's good for them to have. It says here, hypocrisy is also a leaven. That when I allow it to come into my life, it'll infiltrate all the way through. I'd like to look in Matthew 23. Maybe you came this morning to hear a message about the baby Jesus. This is one of the reasons that he came. That he'd be able to make changes in our life. And not that we're caught here. But I want to tell you, through our life, it's going to come close to each one of us. Because the possibility for it exists every time the Lord deals with me about a change that I need to make in my life. If I do it, fine. If I don't, this opportunity exists for me to continue on. I'm thinking right now of what I call the rich young ruler. When he came to the Lord and said, "What else do I need to do to make heaven?" And he gave him the Ten Commandments, and he said, "I've been doing those from a child." And you know, I wonder, there was a big change that came when Jesus came. Before he came, the law and obedience to it was what was required. Remember, he came and said, "Now I'm going to start working in your heart. Where maybe you didn't kill the person before, I want to tell you, you'll be guilty if you think evil toward him now." He came to make a change in the heart of man. And I believe something tugged on the rich young ruler's heart and made him realize, even though I'm doing what was acceptable yesterday, there's something I'm longing for. Remember when he went to him and he said, "There's just one thing that you're lacking. Go sell everything that you have and give it to the poor and come and follow me." and then you'll have treasure in heaven. Says he went away sorrowful. I wonder what his story would be from that point on if we had a book to read this morning. Did he say, I tell you what, I'm going to give up even obeying the Ten Commandments. I'm through with it all. I really doubt it. Could it be possible that he said, I tell you what, it's worked for me in the past. I believe it'll work for me out in the future. We never hear that he made a change. In Matthew 23 and 5, it's talking about the scribes and the Pharisees, just a little portion of that, but all their works they do for to be seen of men. One of the areas that hypocrisy will grow is when I start having a desire that the things I do, that you see them. The things that I do are to be seen of men. Again, I'd like to look at an example. Dorcas, when she died, said she was, the report of her was she was full of good works. How about works? Can they be a show of hypocrisy? Was that? No. Because of the love of Christ that she had in her heart and the desire to help others, she poured out. She gave like Jesus gave. There was no hypocrisy there. So, because we read in this verse, all their works they do to be seen of men, do we quit the works? No. Because Revelation 20 tells me there's going to be a great white throne, that the whole earth is going to want to flee away from it. And when we stand before him, we're going to be judged according to our works. My works need to be acceptable. They need to be a result of the change that Christ has brought about in my life. Not something that I do so that you can see it and think well of me. Titus 2 and 14 tells us to be zealous of good works. That we desire to have it in our life. That as part of that kingdom of heaven and the leaven that's working in it, that's what expected to be able to be picked from that life. Some good fruits. I want to move to another area that goes right along with this. I'd like for us to take a look at Psalms 51. David was caught in hypocrisy. The things that he did, he covered. And he went on looking pretty well until God sent a man that stopped him in his tracks. You know, David could have dealt with that issue by killing Nathan and going on for a while. Instead, he stopped and he said the same thing that Peter said to Ananias and Sapphira. Found out I haven't been lying to men. Yes, I have, but it's not so important as I've been lying to God. You remember where he said it? I acknowledge my transgression, my sin is ever before me. Against thee and thee only have I sinned. No, there was other people that he had sinned against. Bathsheba's husband was dead now. He had sinned against him. But what I get from this scripture is he got a picture of his sin before God. And it outweighed everything else. Lord, I lost that picture. I didn't realize that I was standing before you. And on down in the sixth verse, it says, behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts. Hypocrisy is killed when we seek for truth on the inside, and it is what flows out. You remember the times where Jesus told these same people, the scribes and the Pharisees, you have been real busy keeping the outside of the cup clean and failed to take care of the inside. He didn't say, just throw the whole thing away and don't worry about it. He said, work on the inside, and then that outside will come right along. Psalms 15 and 1. Lord, who shall abide in thy tabernacle? Who shall dwell in thy holy hill? He that walketh uprightly and worketh righteousness and speaketh the truth in his heart. Before it ever hits his lips, He speaks the truth in his heart. When I speak the truth in my heart, my lips are going to go right along with it. There is a word that I want us to think about for a few minutes. Guile. To disguise craftily. He spoke of Nathanael, an Israelite indeed, in whom is no guile. What you see, that's exactly who he is. To disguise craftily. It was said of Jesus, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. In court, you're asked to stand and take this pledge. I promise, in the past I've said, I swear, to speak the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. We sing a song that says, my soul be on thy guard, 10,000 foes arise. And this is one of them for me to be on guard for. Because I've set some goals, I've set some boundaries in my life that I won't cross. Because I know I can't stand before the Lord acceptable. And one of those is lying. Won't tell a lie. Is it possible to tell just enough truth to mislead? It happens. I'll give you an example. In the past, there's been times where I say, okay, you know what, I'm going to go on this diet. And it's best to do it with kind of being accountable to somebody and talking to them. So Cheryl picks up on that and willing to help me out. So I come home one day and I tell her, I said, I've been going on this diet, so she's going to check. And so she asked me, said, well, Dan, what'd you have for lunch today? Well, you know the diet things. I did. I had a salad, had some fruit. So I told her that. Well, that wasn't all I had, but that's all I told her. I didn't tell her about the pack of donuts that came down after that. Just left that out. Now, I want to ask you, was it because I forgot? Just forgot that little detail right there and left it out? No. It's deceit starting to work. And, you know, we can look at that and say, oh, you know, that was just, that's just kind of the way I am. But I want to tell you, it's a seed that starts to work in the heart of a man. I had a wake-up call myself a few years ago. Maybe I've told you, but I hold it before me of who I can be if my soul is not on guard. I've worked in an office building in Oklahoma City for about 22 years now. Before I started, they had a place in the building where the electrical comes in and it crosses underneath an expansion joint that goes to the outside. That expansion joint had leaked before I ever started there and caused the electrical to explode, shut the buildings down. They made that repair and they put a shield over that bus duct, the electrical that fed the building. And every day on the walkthrough, we have a place on the sheet that we sign off. This is dry. There is no problem here. The expansion joint is not leaking. One day I did the walkthrough, and it was misting outside, rain, and as I did the walkthrough, that was about the middle part of the walkthrough, and I looked on the shield, and it had drips coming on it. Well, that's the indicator, hey, it's time to call out a contractor. We've got work that needs to be done. I went off, and I forgot it. For 2 days, I forgot it. Then I came in one morning, and it was pouring down rain, and I remembered then. Went to that spot and checked it, and now it's no longer a little drip. It's running off the shield and running onto the very part that exploded years ago. I called my boss. I will not lie. So I told him. I said, I was at the doing my walkthrough this morning, and I saw this shield that's leaking. It's getting on the bus duct. We need to call somebody soon. He had the phone numbers. He made the calls. The contractors came out. Did the repairs. We had no problem. In whom is no guile? I didn't lie. I withheld some truth to save myself. And what made it worse was when my boss said, as he was fixing to leave the scene there, the contractor just driven off, and my boss said, Dan, I want to tell you, I appreciate how careful you are of watching this building, taking care of it, quick to stop a problem. And he turned and walked away. And he wasn't even out of sight when the Lord said, I'm not going to let it stay here. You knew some more to tell him, and you didn't do it. Folks, we're in a place to where heaven's out ahead for us. If Ananias and Sapphira had only known, this will cost me my soul. If we believe it, they're there with the rich man today for doing a good deed, but with the wrong motives. It can happen to us. My soul, be on thy guard. There's something else. It may not stop with me. This thing can pass down to my children. In Genesis, in the 27th chapter, we're never an island to ourselves. Somebody else is affected. We've read before the story of Rebekah becoming Isaac's wife, the beautiful scene of it. What could have happened that brings us to this story? When Isaac is getting old, he's fixing to die, and he tells his son Esau, I want you to go out and get me something to eat. When you bring it in, I'll bless you, and then I'll be prepared to die. Fifth verse says, when Rebekah heard when Isaac spoke to Esau, his son, and Esau went to the field, and Rebekah spake unto Jacob, her son, saying, behold, I heard thy father speaking to Esau, thy brother, saying, bring me venison, I'll bless you before my death. Now therefore, my son, obey my voice according to that which I command thee. Hypocrisy and guile being passed down to children. She tells him, go out to the flock. You bring it back and I'll cook it. And you take it in to him and he'll bless you instead. He doesn't know the difference. 11th verse, her very son questions the action. Don't think it'll work. Jacob said to his mother Rebekah, behold, Esau my brother is a hairy man and I'm a smooth man. My father peradventure will feel me, and I shall seem to him as a deceiver, and I will be a deceiver. And I shall bring a curse upon me and not a blessing. His mother, the one that should be training up a child in the way he should go. His mother said unto him in the 13th verse, upon me be thy curse, my son. Only obey my voice and go fetch him. And we read the story and he did it. And it cost him so much. Through his life, he didn't stop just in that area of being a deceiver, but he deceived, and he was deceived by others. Hypocrisy in a family is a dangerous thing. We've heard the saying, you can fool some of the people some of the time. Maybe it goes on to say you can fool all the people some of the time. We won't be able to fool God any of the time. And I want to add something to that. We won't be able to fool our family very long. My wife and children know me when I'm away from church. If I'm not careful, I'll pass some things down to my children. I have an uncle. Had an uncle. He's passed away now. On my mother's side. Never saved in my younger life. I remember Mom going to him and saying, Ellis, don't be lost. Don't go to hell. want you to be saved. His reply was, I plan to be lost. I plan to help shovel coal for the devil. I wondered about that. How can a child that has been raised right up, going to meeting down there in Hammond, how can a child turn that way? About 3 years ago, I found out he was sick with a disease that was going to take him. And I thought, am I willing to just let him go? So I went back to visit him. And it took several visits before he started warming up. He gave me this story. Sorry about the crowd. His story was, Dan, I went with the family to services. My grandmother, his mother. He said, Dan, Mama would get up in the service and shout and praise God, waving her hands. And the congregation loved it. He said, before we were home, Mama would be cursing. Think of one verse. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. And we may say, no, why would you even bring up something like this? Because within each one of us lurks this. At any time that God deals with my heart and I choose to not follow up, then what becomes important to me is what you think about me. And I forget what God thinks about me. There is one thing that will banish hypocrisy, that will kill it out, and that is honesty. When I become honest with my own soul, when God deals with me, and I say, yes, it's not my brother, it's not my sister, but it's me, O Lord, standing in the need of prayer. Down in Louisiana when I was a child, we had what we called slugs. Looked like a large snail without a shell on it. You could take that slug and pour salt on it, and it would dissolve into a puddle. There's nothing left. It's gone. When I pour honesty out before the Lord, even as Peter, Lord, you've said I'm this way. I don't see it. But I tell you what, I'm not going to take a chance. I'll move towards you. Amen. We have read in the past that chapter at the beginning of Matthew 25, 10 virgins, 5 wise, 5 foolish. We can explain it a lot of different ways. Today, I would like for us to look at only one way at the end of it. 5 of them had to admit, my lamp has gone out. The profession that I held has no substance. Over time, the form was accepted, but now the call is, behold, the bridegroom comes. Having a form of godliness, but denying the power to make a change in my life. When I resist making the changes that God comes and deals with me about on a personal level, we sing a song that says, oft in the noonday, the evening, and in the stillness of night, sounds in the bosom this warning, turn from the evil, do right. Or maybe to us that are saved today, keep on doing right. Be alert to the dangers around you today. Yet is the voice still unheeded. If I'm not careful, if I allow it, I pass down things to my children that instead of them being able to be saved because of me, if they are saved and make heaven, it will be in spite of me. There is another warning scripture that I'd like to give you. 2 Thessalonians 2:10. Here's the danger for me. Because they received not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. I would like for us today to think about this truth as being the truth about who I am. That the Lord is interested in revealing to me. And I didn't receive a love for it. It goes on, for this cause, God will send a strong delusion. That they will then believe a lie about who they are. And they'll be damned. At midnight, there was a cry made. Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him. And their response was, our lamps are going out. At that time, it no longer matters what you think about me. I'm standing before God for myself with only a shell because I spent my life desiring that you would think well of me. And maybe you did. Maybe I could come down to my last breath, go out into eternity and a minister say, I've known him all his life. He has done great. But what wasn't allowed was for the family to get up and testify. Our lamps are going out with no time to make a change. I'd like to look at another verse in Job. In 27:8. What is the hope of the hypocrite? Though he hath gained, when God taketh away his soul. If I spent my whole life with you thinking well of me, and now I stand before God, what's my hope? Though I gained, though there's even a good eulogy given for me at the end, what's the hope? What good is it when he takes away my soul? Romans 14 tells us we're going to all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. It also in the 12th verse says, so then, every one of us is going to give account of himself to God. The message that I'd like to give you today, flee hypocrisy. In any area that it starts, young people, flee hypocrisy. Because it'll start there, and if you don't stop it, it can follow throughout your life. It can ruin a marriage. It can ruin a home. It can make it to where I'm nothing but a shell in the congregation when so much more is needed. I'd like to look at one more verse. A prayer that David had. Psalms 139:23. Search me, O God, because today I may feel like I'm doing fine. God, I'd like for you to search me. Because the thing of the verse that says, every way of a man is right in his own eyes. But God's the one that needs to do the checking. Search me, O God, know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. And see if there be any wicked way in me. And lead me in the way everlasting. Because the first verses that we read was when Jesus came and he said, I've been sent to lead the captive free. To set him free. But then it went on to the next verse that said he looked over those folks that he handed it out to, offered it to, and he wept. And he said, if you had only known what I was offering to you, what I was handing over to you, when we will die to self throughout our life and on a regular basis, the peace that will come as a result. But I can choose not to do that. I can choose through my life to make you think that I've got a good possession. Yes. And it turns out at the end that it's only a profession. I desire your prayers. Folks, we're headed for eternity. There will come a day when I'll stand before God and I won't see you there.
That's right.
You will stand before God and you'll not see me there. Every day of our life, flee hypocrisy in any level that it would work. There's a song that I'd like for us to sing. I believe it's in the Blue Book. Search me, O God, and know my heart today. See if there be any wicked way in me. Because, Lord, I'm going to stand before you, and it may be soon. I desire your prayers. When I saw him turning his back, I knew. You know what? I had a choice to make there. I could have let it go. But I believe with all my heart, I would have seen it at the judgment day. So I followed him up to the building office. And I told him, I said, I've got something I need to tell you. I told you the truth when I said I saw it this morning leaking. But I had something else that I didn't want to tell you because it wouldn't leave me looking so good. I knew about this thing 3 days ago. I saw it and I forgot about it. Folks, I want to tell you something. The devil will work so hard on you, making it look like you're going to be in big trouble if you live a life of honesty. If you are willing to take the wrong when you deserve it and when you don't deserve it. Because it was so simple. My boss was so nice. He just thanked me. Thank you, Dan, for telling me that. And I could have lost my soul for it by saying, I'm not going up there. So what I want to do in my life, and I hope you'll do it in yours, maybe this is not even an area that you have problem with. Just be on guard. Meet the Lord with a clear conscience toward God and toward men. I am so thankful that he came. I am so thankful that when I talked to you a while ago to the young people about who I was, willing to pretend that I was saved and I wasn't, I am so thankful that there were some evangelist ministers back then that could come into a camp meeting and they could preach hell that would make you think you were swinging out over it. And it got my heart and it made the change in me. Where would I have been today had I not allowed God to come in to destroy that part of who I was? I desire.